ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text Number 30, Chapter entitled, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone. Kamat Veshat Bayat Snehat Yata Bhakteshvare Manaha आवेश्य तद् अगम हित्वा भगवः तद्गतिं गता काम। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन, मेनी मेनी पर्सन्स हैव अटेन्ड लिबरेशन सिंपली बाय थिंकिंग ऑफ कृष्णा with great attention and giving up sinful activities. This great attention may be due to lusty desires, inimical feelings, fear, affection, or devotional service. I shall now explain how one receives Krishna's mercy simply by concentrating one's mind upon him. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 33rd Chapter, 39th Verse, Vikriditam Vrajavadu Biridam Cha Vishnu Shraddhan Vito Nushunuyad Atavarnayedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavati Pratilabhya Kamam Hridrogam Ash Apahinot Achirena Dira. If a bona fide listener hears of Krishna's pastimes with the gopis, which seem to be lusty affairs, the lusty desires in his heart, which constitute the heart disease of the conditioned soul, will be vanquished, and he will become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. If one who hears of the gopis' lusty behavior with Krishna becomes free from lusty desires, certainly the gopis who approached Krishna became free from all such desires. Similarly, Shishupal and others who are very much envious of Krishna and who constantly thought of Krishna became free from envy. Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda were fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness because of affection. When the mind is somehow or other fully absorbed in Krishna, the material part is very soon vanquished and the spiritual part, attraction to Krishna, becomes manifest. This indirectly confirms that if one thinks of Krishna enviously, simply because of thinking of Krishna, he becomes free from all sinful reactions and thus becomes a pure devotee. Examples of this are given in the following verse. I'm sure that many of you must have come with the expectation of hearing from any senior devotees. But sometimes maybe because of our past karma you'll have to, or some unfortunate situation you have to hear from me. But I would like to take the blessings of all the devotees, especially the senior devotees present here, Vishwarup Prabhu and others, before attempting to speak. and the glories of Narasingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So we see this seventh canto. Seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with a question actually asked by Parikshit Maharaj. The sixth canto of the Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami narrated how Lord Vishnu helped Indra to kill different demons. Like in the episode of Chitraketu Maharaj and Ritrasur, Lord Vishnu actually helped Indra to kill Ritrasur. He actually gave guidance. So Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing all these narrations, Parikshit Maharaj asks a question to Sukadeva Goswami. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually equal to everyone, and he is actually equally affectionate to every living entities, and is a kind friend of all the living entities. Then how is it that the Supreme Lord is actually taking the side of Indra, and he is actually helping Indra to kill the demons? If the Lord is equal to everyone, then how can he be partial? And if he is actually affectionate to all living beings, how is it that he is not affectionate to the demons? And then he asks, the Supreme Lord, his body is the reservoir of all pleasure. So if he is the reservoir of all pleasure, that means he is Atma Rama, he is self-satisfied, then why is he actually taking the side of the demigods and fighting against the demons? Usually, when we are fighting against somebody, or when we are doing some particular activity, like we want to gain something from the other person. But in the case of the Supreme Lord, he does not have to gain something from other person, because he is actually completely self-satisfied. His form is the personification of spiritual bliss. Then why is he actually fighting against the, why is he taking the side of demigods and fighting against the demons? And the Supreme Lord is actually transcendental to the three modes of nature. If he is transcendental, then why is he actually fearful of the demons? And why is he actually having hatred, or why is he having envy towards the demons? So especially we see this particular quality, because this particular chapter is entitled, the Supreme Lord is actually equal to everyone. Like this quality of actually partiality and impartiality, especially a person is actually partial in this world, because when a person has some selfish desires, then he actually favors those people who actually do good to that person, or who are actually good to that particular person. And he actually does not favor those people who are not good to him. So this quality of partiality is usually manifest in a person who is actually affected by the three modes of nature. Like especially when a person actually has this quality of partiality, then like in the person of an authority or any person, so then people who are under him, they actually lose faith in such a person. Like suppose a student is studying for the exam. Suppose it's one of us, he studied very hard, and then he appears for the exam, and he did very well in the exam. He was expecting some very good rank. And when the results come, he has actually failed in the exam. And suppose it's another one of his friend who has not studied throughout the year. And he actually comes out with flying colors. Suppose he gets like first class and distinction, then people will actually lose faith in the system of examination itself. They will think, oh, there is no need to study only. Because ultimately, whatever marks I am going to get, it is not dependent on what I write in the exam. It is dependent on like how much I bribe the examiner, something like that. So basically, this quality of partiality, when we see in the particular person, we actually lose faith in that authority. So Parishit Maharaj is actually asking this question. In fact, if we see, like I was sharing this point that, like in this world, especially it is important for a position, for a person in the who is having a leadership role. In one sense, like every person in this world, he's playing the role of leadership to some extent or other. In a small family, a father or mother, like he's playing the position of a leader, or in a company, or a temple, or different this thing. So, and especially one has to understand that people who are actually subordinate to him, like they are not pure devotees. Like when people who are subordinate to him, they have like, every person in this world, they have different identities, different material identities. So when a person actually acts partially, then he can actually bring out the bad side of the subordinate. Like every person has the good side and bad side, but depending on how we act, we can actually bring out the bad side from a person. Like for example, like I was hearing a lecture of Sulnas Radhana Swami Maharaj. He was explaining about Chitraketu Maharaj. Chitraketu Maharaj, he wanted to have a son. And then somehow Angira Rishi, he took the blessings from Angira Rishi, and then Angira Rishi said, okay, you will get a son, but the son will be the cause of happiness and distress. So then after he got the son, Harshashoka, he was actually paying attention only to that particular wife, Kritadyuti. It was not that he was actually envious of the other wives for like 99 lakhs and like 99,000, something like that, and 99 wives. So he was not actually envious of the other wives, but because of paying attention to only to this particular wife, the other wives, they became envious and they actually poisoned Harshashoka. So Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, Chitraketu Maharaj was actually a devotee. He was actually a religious person. He was actually a devotee of the Supreme Lord, but he was actually having material desire. He was obsessed with the desire to have a son. So certainly, because he was a devotee, when he would have actually married, he would have actually chosen devotee wives to marry. So all his wives were also actually devotees. But because of paying attention to one particular wife, he brought out the bad side from the other wives. So one must understand that Chitraketu Maharaj, he didn't have any some envy or hatred towards the other wives. But because of his material desire, because of that material desire, he was just paying attention to this particular wife, he brought out the bad side from the other. He completely neglected the other wives. So many times we see how these wives of Chitraketu Maharaj, they became envious. But then, in one sense, Chitraketu Maharaj was actually responsible for bringing out the envy. Or even Uttanupad, we hear this harsh word spoken by Suruchi to Dhruva Maharaj. But then, if Uttanupad, if he would have chastised Suruchi, then Dhruva Maharaj would not have gone to the forest. He would not actually... he could have pacified the revengeful attitude of Dhruva Maharaj. So the point is that, like especially the person in the position of a leader, by acting partially, he can bring out the bad side from the other person. Like in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he wanted to go to South India, so that time, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they actually wanted to come along with Mahaprabhu, like Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Gadadhar Pandit, and Sarvam Bhattacharya, Jagadanand Pandit. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually took along with him a new devotee, Kala Krishna Das. And even when he wanted to go to Vrindavan, he actually took one of a new devotee, Balabhadra Bhattacharya. He did not take any of his intimate associates. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, actually you must know that all these associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were actually the eternal associate of the Supreme Lord coming from the spiritual world. And they were completely free from envy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when he was dealing with his Nitya Siddha eternal associates who are completely free from envy, he was actually acting impartially. He did not take, because he thought like if he had taken one of his associates, then he would have to take other associates also. So he didn't take any of his intimate associates. So if he was acting impartially with his associates who are completely free from envy, then how much more it is important for a leader to act impartially when you are actually dealing with people who are actually sadhakas, who are actually envy to some degree or other. So by acting partially, a person can actually bring out the bad side. And a person acts partially because of some selfish desire. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking, it seems that Lord Vishnu is actually, he's always acting for demigods. So why? So it seems that he's actually affected by the three modes. But I know that he's actually transcendental to the three modes. I know that he's actually does not have any envy. So please actually clarify this doubt. This great doubt has actually appeared in my heart. So please clarify this doubt. So it is important. Actually, Parikshit Maharaj, he had full faith in the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But somehow this doubt has come into his heart, so he wants to clarify that. So, I think in one of the lectures, I think going through, somebody was telling that Parikshit Maharaj, he's actually openly telling that I'm actually troubled by this doubt, so please clarify this doubt. So the difference between a neophyte devotee and advanced devotee is that sometimes a neophyte devotee is actually affected by the surroundings. So one may think that, oh, if I have this doubt, if I express this doubt, what will others think? So he doesn't express. But Parikshit Maharaj is actually openly expressing this doubt. He's not actually concerned about the surroundings. And he is actually having complete faith, but still he wants to clarify this doubt. So this shows Parikshit Maharaj is actually faithful and thoughtful. If a person is having only faith, but if he is not thoughtful, then when obstacles come, then he will actually find it difficult to continue to practice devotional service. And if a person is only thoughtful, but if he is not faithful, then one may end up speculating. So Parikshit Maharaj is actually faithful and thoughtful. And in fact, in one lecture, Sri Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning that when a person is having doubt, when a person is actually lives with those doubts, then the result of living with those doubts is a person actually will lose affection to serve the devotees. And he will actually expect others to serve him, or he demands to be heard. So that's why it is important that actually one has to clarify the doubts. In fact, Krishna says in the Gita, Agyascha ashraddha danascha samshayatma vinashyati nayam lokosi na paro na sukam samshayatmanah. Says that those people who are ignorant and those who are not faithful, and they will never achieve me. They will actually never attain the perfection. And a doubtful soul, he neither attains material happiness nor does he attain spiritual perfection. Agya means those who are actually ignorant, those who do not have scriptural knowledge. And Ashraddhadana means those people who may have scriptural knowledge, but they don't have faith. So Prabhupada says that because of seeing the mutual disagreements between the different philosophers, they lose faith in the scriptures. So it is sometimes people may have knowledge of the scriptures, but when they see some devotees or or when they see some devotees quarreling with each other, then because of that, actually others will lose faith. So this Ashraddha Dana is like those who have faith, but then because of seeing the quarrel between the devotees or the religious people, they actually lose faith. And then Samshayatma is, they have actually knowledge of the scriptures and they have faith in the scriptures, but then they think that maybe this process will not work in my case. So such a doubtful soul is actually, he neither attains perfection, neither attains material happiness, nor does he attain spiritual perfection. So another class, I think Govind Prabhu was mentioning that Parishit Maharaj actually asked this doubt. And the answer to this doubt, it spans the whole seventh canto. And similarly, if we have a doubt and if we do not clarify the doubt, that doubt will actually expand and it will occupy the whole space in the heart and there will be no room to actually practice Krishna consciousness. That's why the word samshaya means samyak kshayati iti samshaya, that which occupies the heart completely. So Parishit Maharaj is actually asking this doubt. In response to that, Shukadeva Goswami actually says that he's actually congratulating Parishit Maharaj. You actually asked an excellent question because this is giving me an opportunity to actually narrate the activities of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And that will actually increase one's bhakti. And not only that, it will actually counteract all the miseries of material existence. So let me start narrating the pastimes of the Supreme Lord by first offering my obeisances to my spiritual master Vyasadev. So Shukadeva Goswami is actually conscious. He's before narrating, he actually starts, he offers obeisances to the spiritual master. Because that is the nature of a devotee. He's always conscious of the person from whom he has actually received the knowledge. So then Shukadeva Goswami says in great detail that how the Supreme Lord is actually always transcendental to the three modes of material nature. And he is actually never affected by envy or partiality. He may appear to be acting out of envy or he may appear to be acting out of fear. But actually, he is actually never partial. It is basically the different people who act in a particular way, because of that, they are actually sometimes punished by the Supreme Lord. Just like, suppose in an exam, like different people, one person may get 75% marks, somebody may get 45% marks. But then one can't complain, so why the teacher gave me 75% marks? I got only 45 marks. The point is only because he has written that many answers, so that is why he has got more marks. So the teacher is actually impartial. It's basically depending on what we write in the exam paper, so we get different marks. Or Vishnu Chakravarti gives an example, like a sun actually shows his affection to sunstone by making it shine. And the sun is actually harmful to the thieves and rogues who actually take advantage of the darkness in the absence of the sun. The sun appears, it is actually harmful to the thieves and rogues because they can't actually steal. And the sun is actually helpful to the chakravaka birds because they feel great joy when actually sun rises. And the sun is actually indifferent to the blind people. But actually the fact is, the sun is actually equal to everyone. The cause of difference is the good or bad qualities present in the specific object. It's not because of the sun. So Shukadeva Goswami is clarifying how the Supreme Lord is actually not partial. In fact, in the third canto, there is a verse which says that Uddhava is remembering the activities of Krishna. He says that when Lord Krishna when he saw that how Duryodhan was lying on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he was about to die, that time Lord Krishna was feeling very sorry for Duryodhan. So Lord Krishna was actually feeling very bad that Duryodhan is actually in such a condition. So when Krishna actually takes the side of the demigods and he punishes the demons, it is actually in the absolute platform. So then Shukadeva Goswami, when he gives answers to Parikshit Maharaj, he actually narrates, he says that a similar question was asked by Yudhishthira Maharaj to Narada Muni. So Parikshit Maharaj's question was, why is the Lord partial? Why does the Lord appear to be acting partially? But Yudhishthira Maharaj's question was, why is the Lord so impartial? But Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was performing the Rajasya sacrifice, so that time, actually Shishupal, if we have to give the background of Shishupal, Shishupal, when he was born, Shishupal was born with 3 eyes and 4 hands. He was born with abnormally. So his parents, they were very much concerned, our child is born abnormally. And then they came to know that, if Shishupal is put on the lap of his enemy who will actually kill him, then he will become normal. His one eye will melt and his 2 hands will melt. So they tried to put on the lap of different people, but nothing was happening. But finally, they put him on the lap of Krishna, and then he actually became normal. Then the parents actually understood that Krishna is the person who is actually going to kill Shishupal. Then they actually pleaded with Krishna that please actually do not kill our son Shishupal. So Krishna told, I will not kill him as long as he does not exceed 99 blasphemies. Because Shishupal was a person, right from the time he was actually born, he actually started blasphemying Krishna. So Krishna told him that actually as long as he does not exceed 99 blasphemies at one time, actually I will not kill him. So every time when Shishupal would blaspheme Krishna, he would actually count. When it would be 99, he would stop. So you can see actually how Krishna is so tolerant. Krishna tolerated so many times Shishupal blaspheming him 99 times. So when Shishupal in this way, he was envious of Krishna. In fact, when Shishupal, at one point of time, Shishupal's envy got little diverted because Rukmi arranged for the marriage of Rukmini with Shishupal. So he was actually, he was thinking of marrying Rukmini. So his mind became absorbed in the thought of marrying Rukmini. Because of that, his envy got diverted. So then the time for marriage came. So at that time, Krishna came at the last moment and then he kidnapped Rukmini and then he actually went away. So now, Shishupal's envy actually increased hundreds and thousands of times. Because envy got diverted and then last moment Krishna came and kidnapped Rukmini and then his envy increased hundreds and thousands of times. Then Shishupal actually comes to the Rajasya sacrifice. So when he came to the Rajasya sacrifice, so Yudhishthira Maharaj performed the Rajasya sacrifice in order to actually establish Krishna's position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Krishna was being glorified by every person, so Shishupal actually, now his envy increased thousands and lakhs and millions of times more. In fact, he told us, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he told in his lecture that Shishupal's envy towards Krishna is actually as inconceivable as Gopi's love towards Krishna. So that was the nature of actually Shishupal's envy. So then, that time, So when in the Rakshasa sacrifice, Krishna's, the Shishupal's envy became increased like millions of times more. This time his mind was so absorbed in envy that he actually forgot to keep a count. Because like sometimes, like even when you are chanting that, like we tend to think, oh, so many rounds are over, oh, so much time is left. Because our mind is not absorbed, like we think of like how much time, at least for myself. Like for Shishupal, because he was so much absorbed in envy, he forgot to keep a count. So at that time, because he exceeded 99, Krishna immediately took his Sudarshan Chakra and killed Shishupal. And then right in front of everyone, Shishupal's soul actually merged in the body of Krishna. He actually attained Sayujya Mukti. So that time, Yudhishthira Maharaj actually immediately asked a question. That how is it that Shishupal, he's so envious. But how is it that he got Sayujya Mukti, which is not possible to obtain? Like even great impersonalists, great sages, they perform austerities for millions of so many lifetimes, still they are not able to attain, but that is actually attained by Shishupal. So Yudhishthira Maharaj's question is like, how is Krishna so impartial? So in fact, I was reading Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter. The 15th chapter, Krishna says, Yasmat Ksharam Atitoham Aksharat Apichottama Atosmi Loke Vedeche Pratita Purushottama. So Vishnu Chakra Thakur, he translates in a way, he says that, Krishna says that, I am actually superior to all the living entities. I am superior to the impersonal Brahman. I am superior to the Paramatma. And I am superior even to other forms of Bhagavan. So we can understand how he's superior to the living entities, and he's superior to the impersonal Brahman, he's superior to the Paramatma. But Krishna, he says that he's superior even to the other forms of Bhagavan. So Vishnu Chakravarti writes in the commentary, he says that when Krishna actually gave the highest perfection of, Krishna alone gave the Nirvana Moksha to his enemies like Shishupal, Jarasandha, Agasur, etc. So because of that, actually Krishna is superior to even to other forms of Bhagavan. So this was Yudhishthira Maharaj's question, that how is actually Krishna so impartial? And we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj, again, Gaurang Prabhu mentioned in a class that Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually so, he was actually performing this Rajasya sacrifice. Rajasya sacrifice, like one has to perform, like one has to make so much of elaborate arrangements. And right in the, like in the important time of the Rajasya sacrifice, a killing has taken place. And that is like very inauspicious for an actually sacrifice. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is the person who is performing the sacrifice. And a person, like suppose a person is organizing a big event. And suddenly sometimes when something goes wrong, like something when like serious mistake has happened, usually we become like very much disturbed. But Yudhishthira Maharaj, he performed the sacrifice with the purpose to please Krishna, and he never forgot the purpose to please Krishna. So then he immediately asked a question to Narada Muni. And then there is a whole, actually, then Narada Muni narrates the whole incident. It's like a whole seventh canto is narrated to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So because Yudhishthira Maharaj never forgot the purpose of performing a sacrifice. Usually, like when we are performing a service, somewhere in the middle, we actually try to forget the purpose. And we become so much caught up in the passion, and we sometimes fail to forget the purpose of pleasing the Supreme Lord. Like Gopinath Chandra gave an example. Like suppose like when a person is like first time performing aarti, so initially he decides that, oh, I will not actually move my left hand, which is holding the bell. But somewhere in the middle of the aarti, he sees that, oh, his left hand is also moving. Many times like it happens that initially we start like Indra. Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining in a class, like Indra, like initially when he wanted to perform Ashwamedha sacrifice, he was performing the sacrifice only for the purpose of doing welfare to the people. But then when he actually performed the 100th Ashwamedha sacrifice, he became attached to that position. So when Prithu Maharaj was performing the 100th sacrifice, he became actually, he felt very insecure. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, he was detached to the circumstances and he was attached to Krishna. And although such an inauspicious thing like a killing has taken place in the sacrificial arena, he actually puts aside that and he's asking Narada Muni, and there is a whole Srimad Bhagavatam class. So this shows Yudhishthira Maharaj's attachment to Krishna. And another point which Gaurang Prabhu made was that Yudhishthira Maharaj, actually in that place, Krishna was personally present. But Yudhishthira Maharaj did not ask Krishna, but he chose to ask Narada Muni. Why did it happen? So this shows that how one should actually approach Krishna through the Guru. As Rupa Goswami says, the first principle of sadhana bhakti is like Adav Guru Padashraya. First one should take shelter of the spiritual master. So when Narada Muni starts narrating, so Narada Muni actually speaks this particular verse. So Narada Muni says that actually by devotional service, he says that when a person is absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even if it is out of enmity or out of fear or even out of lusty desire, even out of or a person may be performing Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, whatever it may be, but if a person is absorbed in the Supreme Lord, Krishna will purify that person, he will actually attain the perfection. In fact, Narada Muni is saying, he's actually glorifying the demons. He's saying that, I do not have such absorption like Sishupal and Kamsa. In fact, they are actually more absorbed than me. So one should know, if you literally, many times there are verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes a devotee may speak something, but one should not literally take the words of the devotees. One should actually try to understand the mood behind why the devotee is speaking like that. So Narada Muni is glorifying Sishupal and Kamsa, but actually what he is glorifying is the principle of absorption in the Supreme Lord. In fact, another quality of Narada Muni which is being brought out is like, Narada Muni is a Saragrahi. He is actually seeing the essence. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, there were two newspaper articles. One newspaper article was actually criticizing the activities of the devotees. And another newspaper article was actually appreciating the activities of the devotees. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told the devotees to count the number of names of Krishna in both the articles. And the number of names of Krishna in the article which actually blasphemed, which criticized the activities of devotees, that was actually more than the other article. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this article is better. Because many people, when they read this article, they will actually chant the names of Krishna more. So it will actually purify them. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was actually seeing the essence. In fact, like another principle which is being brought out is the principle of Kaumutika Nyaya. Kaumutika Nyaya means, like suppose in a dark room, if one candle is lit, so as soon as a candle is lit, the darkness in the room immediately goes. If one candle can actually dissipate the darkness in a room, and what to speak if the sun itself enters the room. So similarly, if a person who is absorbed in the Supreme Lord out of envy or fear of the Supreme Lord, if he can attain such a perfection, and what to speak when a person actually renders devotional service to the Supreme Lord in a favorable mood with a desire to please the Lord. So that is actually the point one should actually take. In fact, if we see the Western books and the scriptures, Goenka was mentioning that Western books, they are actually concerned with the facts and figures. They are not concerned with the emotions, actually. But the scriptures, they are actually concerned more with the emotions than with the facts and figures. So when Narada Muni is glorifying Shishupal and Kamsa, one has to see the emotion of Narada Muni. He is actually glorifying the attitude of absorption. Emotional literally take. Like in the Mahabharata, there is a statement Krishna is telling to Draupadi, the very arrows of Arjuna will kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. So, I mean, like, was Krishna not aware of the like promise of Bhima? Because Bhima was the person who actually made the, who took a vow that I will kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. But Krishna is telling that the very arrows of Arjuna will kill all the sons of Dhritarashtra. So basically, if a person is concerned about the facts and figures, then sometimes one may not be able to appreciate the scriptures. One has to see the like emotion behind the speaker. In fact, again, another point about like how Narada Muni is appreciating. He's a Saragrahi. Like we see, again, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur in the Bhagavad Gita commentary, in the 15th chapter, he's quoting a commentator called as Madhusudan Saraswati. And he's quoting his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, Madhusudan Saraswati, who glorifies how Krishna is the supreme object of worship. But this Madhusudan Saraswati is actually impersonalist. But Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that I offer obeisances even to the impersonalist because he is actually glorifying Krishna. So we see that the nature of a great soul is actually he takes the essence. So then Narada Muni, he actually starts narrating. He was saying that how the Shishupal and he was actually previously, Shishupal and Dandavakra, they were previously the associate of the Supreme Lord. They were actually doorkeepers in the Vaikuntha planet. And because of being cursed by the Brahmanas, they actually fell down and they became demons. And he started narrating that how Jay and Vijay, they were actually the doorkeepers of Vaikuntha planet. And once when the four Kumaras, they tried to enter the Vaikuntha planets, the Jay and Vijay, they actually stopped the four Kumaras to enter the Vaikuntha planet. The four Kumaras, they became angry and then they actually cursed Jay and Vijay. Again, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was giving telling a lecture that Jay and Vijay were saying that Jay and Vijay were actually trying to judge the four Kumaras by their external appearance. Because the four Kumaras, they were just small children. They didn't actually want to grow old because they felt that if we grow old, then we may be affected by different material desires. So they just wanted to remain like a young children. So they didn't actually understand the exalted position of the four Kumaras. So many times, like we judge people by external appearance. Like one lecture, Shikshashram Prabhu was mentioning, like in the initial days, in one temple in America, that like one black person was coming to the temple regularly. And most of the devotees, they didn't pay any attention to this person who was like visiting the temple for many days. But that devotee, later on, he actually turned out to be Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. So many times we actually tend to judge based on the external appearance or based on the quantity, this thing. But like on the other hand, if we compare Jay and Vijay with Prithu Maharaj, when you read the fourth canto, Prithu Maharaj, he was actually giving instructions to his citizens, and then the citizens were actually they were offering gifts and they were glorifying Prithu Maharaj. And at that time, the four Kumaras, they actually arrive at that place. So Prithu Maharaj was being glorified by all the people present in the assembly. But as soon as they saw the four Kumaras, they immediately recognized them and immediately actually surrendered to them and took instructions from them. And if you see the case of Prahlad Maharaj, How Prahlad Maharaj, he did not actually see by externals. Like Prahlad Maharaj, his spiritual master is Narada Muni. Like if you see Narada Muni, like Narada Muni is such a dynamic preacher actually. Like Narada Muni, he actually preached to all kinds of people. Like recently I was hearing like in Prabhupada's class, Prabhupada mentions that like all the devotees in the universe, they are all disciples of Narada Muni. Because if you see any all the devotees, they are all connected to Narada Muni through the spiritual masters and the acharyas like that. So Narada Muni, he actually preached to like Prahlad Maharaj, was like was in the womb of Kayadu, and preached to like Dhruva Maharaj, like was into Gopal's fun school like that, small children, 5-year-old boy. And I was just repeating other devotees really that. And Narada Muni was like preaching to like people like Harieshwas and Savalashwas. He was into youth preaching. And Narada Muni was like preaching to like Chitraketu Maharaj and his wives. He was into congregation preaching. Like Narada Muni was like preaching to like Murugari. He was into like prison ministry. And Narada Muni was like preaching to Prachina Barishad, like VIPs and like cultivating life members, something like that. So Narada Muni was like usually, because like in our case, like we have a particular nature, like our nature suits certain kind of people, we become little uncomfortable with different people. But Narada Muni is such a transcendental person. He's just preaching from traveling from one place to another place. He's preaching to all kinds of people. So Narada Muni is the spiritual master of Prahlad Maharaj. But Prahlad Maharaj, in the 7th canto, he meets this Avadhut Brahmana. So this Brahmana, this Avadhut, he was just staying in one particular place, and he was like acting like a dumb and deaf person. He was considered like a mad person by so many people. But Prahlad Maharaj could understand this person is actually a great saint. Again, Radhanath Maharaj mentioned in the 7th canto lectures that like Prahlad Maharaj, because he was actually seeking the essence, he could see that this Avadhut Brahmana was actually, he was on the same platform as the spiritual master Narada Muni. So usually when we have a stereotyped understanding of a devotee, like we are able to appreciate one devotee and we are not able to appreciate another devotee. Like even among devotees, sometimes we see like, there are certain devotees who are like their devotion is manifested in the form of the renunciation. Like sometimes there are certain advanced devotees, like they don't travel in the taxi or they don't travel in the plane. Sometimes they just walk, even if it's a little distance, they go in the bus. And there are other devotees, they go in the cars and they go in the planes. But sometimes if you have a stereotyped nature, you may think, oh, this devotee, oh, he's not so renounced, he's attached to facilities. But actually, like, both the devotees are advanced and their devotion is manifest in different ways. Or even like in certain services, like for example, like even in the dressing the deities, like Krishna's beauty is manifest in different ways through different devotees. Like Prabhupada mentions in the first canto purport, Nityam nirikshamananam yadapi dvarakau kasam. The residents of Dwaraka, they were never satiated by seeing Krishna's beauty. Because Krishna was manifesting newer and newer beauties at every moment. So when we have a stereotyped nature, like what is beauty, then we may not be able to appreciate certain beauty which may be manifest through another devotee. Of course, there are basic rules and regulations, like, okay, one can't say, if a person cannot like whimsically, so let me not put any dress only to the deity. Oh, Krishna is manifesting this beauty through me. Like that is like whimsical nature. Similarly, Krishna manifests beauty through different ways. And different people actually glorify Krishna through different ways. Like some people, they glorify Krishna through many Prabhupada stories. Sometimes some people glorify Krishna through different analogies or some simple stories or jokes like that. But basically, every person is trying to glorify Krishna. So here we see that Prahlad Maharaj, like he, because he was concerned about the essence, he could actually understand how this Avadhut Brahmana is actually as great as Narada Muni. So the four Kumaras, the Jay and Vijay, they could not actually identify the exalted nature. They could not understand, they could not appreciate the exalted nature of the four Kumaras. So they did not allow him. And the four Kumaras, they cursed Jay and Vijay. And then they actually took birth as demons for three lifetimes. Then Narada Muni says, so they actually took birth as Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha was killed by Lord Varahadev. And Hiranyakashipu, he was such a great demon, but his son Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee of the Lord. And he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways, but he could not kill Prahlad Maharaj. And finally, Lord appeared as Narsingadev and killed Hiranyakashipu because he could not tolerate the offense committed to Prahlad Maharaj. So in this way, Narada Muni is actually narrating this incident. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj actually asks a question that, like, why did Hiranyakashipu become angry with his son Prahlad Maharaj? Why did he want to kill his son Prahlad Maharaj? So then Narada Muni starts narrating that how Hiranyakashipu, because he was actually inimical towards Lord Vishnu, then he starts narrating that Hiranyakashipu, after the death of his brother Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, he started pacifying the relatives of Hiranyaksha. In fact, if we read the second chapter of the seventh canto, Hiranyakashipu is speaking like perfect philosophy. It's like appears exactly like Bhagavad Gita, second chapter. So he is actually trying to pacify the relatives of Hiranyaksha. But after pacifying the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he performs austerities to become immortal. He says that how the body is actually temporary, the soul is eternal. But then after that, he is actually wanting to achieve immortality of the body. So again, when Hiranyakashipu is, we can see, one has to understand the state of consciousness of the speaker and the hearer. So Hiranyakashipu preached this philosophy, and the relatives of Hiranyaksha, they were somewhat pacified because they were actually hearing in a humble attitude. They were like distressed. But Hiranyakashipu, he was not convinced of the philosophy. So there is, what is important is the consciousness of the speaker and the audience. Like in the, when Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra, so Dhritarashtra, he was not at all transformed after hearing the Gita. Even after that, he had that enmity towards the Pandavas. In fact, after the battle, when Bhima came to meet Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra wanted to kill Bhima. So he was not transformed. But Sanjaya, after speaking the Gita, Sanjaya says that Rajan samsmritya samsmritya, samvadam imam adbhutam keshavar junayo punya hrishyamicha puna punaha. He says that as I remember this wonderful conversation between Krishna and Arjuna, my hairs are standing on end. So, but Sanjaya was transformed because he was actually speaking the right attitude. And Vasudeva was speaking to Kamsa. Kamsa was neither pacified nor terrified by the instructions of Vasudeva. So finally Vasudeva had to tell that, okay, I promise that I will give each of my son to you as soon as the child is born. So we see that because Kamsa was not hearing from the proper attitude, he was not transformed. So we see that Hiranyakashipu, so it's very important that what is the consciousness. In fact, one lecture Radha Gopinathra was sharing that what is the, Hiranyakashipu is speaking the actually highest philosophy. If you read the seventh canto, second chapter, 45th verse, like he's saying that how the soul is the soul is superior to the body. says that in the body, the most important substance is the life here, but that also is neither the listener nor the speaker. Beyond even the life here, the soul also can do nothing, for the super soul is actually the director in cooperation with the individual soul. The super soul conducting the activities of the body is different from the body and living force. So he is actually speaking, he knows that the Supreme Lord, super soul is the actually is the controller. The Supreme Lord is the controller. But he is using the philosophy for the wrong purpose. And although he is speaking the philosophy, he is actually having not the realization. Because Krishna says in the, again, 15th chapter, Yomam evam asam mudo janati purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharat. Krishna says that one who understands me to be the Supreme Lord without any doubt, such a person engages in my devotional service with full attention, such a person will engage in all the angas of my devotional service. Sarva bhavena bharat. So, but Hiranyakashipu is speaking that philosophy, but he is not engaging in devotional service. That shows that he is actually not having the knowledge. Again, Radhanath Maharaj was explaining in a class that Hiranyakashipu was using the philosophy for the wrong purpose. So the purpose of the philosophy is actually the most important. A person who doesn't know philosophy is not as dangerous as the one who knows the philosophy, but he's having a wrong purpose. In fact, just mentioning that Darwin's theory, that Darwin, actually he took the theory of evolution from the Padma Puran. The Britishers, they actually stole so many scriptures that time, like he took the theory, took from Padma Puran and he modified. So he took the theory from Padma Puran, but he actually took out the soul of the philosophy, that is the transmigration of the soul. He took the philosophy, but he actually removed the essence of the philosophy, that is transmigration of the soul. So because he took a Vedic philosophy and distorted it, so he could make actually a great impact. So many people were actually misguided. So, and again, another thing, like if you see Hiranyakashipu preaching to his relatives, he is saying that how the Supreme Lord is the supreme controller, the body is temporary. But the same thing, when he actually hears from Prahlad Maharaj actually, he asks Prahlad Maharaj, like, from where you are getting the power? Like, he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj in so many ways, and Prahlad Maharaj was not getting killed. And he asked Prahlad Maharaj, like, where are you getting the power from? So Prahlad Maharaj said, I am getting the power from the same place from where you are getting the power. I am getting the power from the Supreme Lord, who is actually the supreme powerhouse. In one sense, like Prahlad Maharaj spoke the same philosophy which Hiranyakashipu preached to the relatives of Hiranyaksh. So Hiranyakashipu was actually eager to speak that philosophy to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, but he was not ready to hear that philosophy from Prahlad Maharaj. So that is actually Hiranyakashipu. On the other hand, we see like great devotees like Prithu Maharaj. Like Prithu Maharaj, he was actually giving instruction to his citizens. But after giving instruction, that the citizens actually thank him. And then at that time, the four Kumaras, they actually descend to that particular place. And immediately, Prithu Maharaj actually submits himself to the four Kumaras. And he presents himself as if he is a conditioned soul. And the verse says that he was eager to hear from the four Kumaras, and he was so attracted to the four Kumaras, just like a conditioned soul would be naturally attracted toward a sense object. So Prithu Maharaj was actually more eager to hear from four Kumaras than his eagerness to speak to the citizens. So because in his actually consciousness, because he was actually conscious of being the servant of his superiors, So because of that consciousness, it actually transformed, it made the citizens whom he instructed, it made the citizens actually Krishna conscious. In fact, there is a verse in the 4th canto, 21st chapter, 49th verse, in which after the four, Prithu Maharaj speaks to the four, the citizens, they thank the four Kumaras, and they say that you are actually the purest of all the kings, and you are actually glorifying the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we feel that we are actually living in the kingdom of the Supreme Lord. Like in your rule, we are actually feeling the presence of the Supreme Lord. So the purpose of preaching is actually to make a person Krishna conscious. So the citizens of Prithu Maharaj, they were feeling that, oh, we are actually feeling the presence of Krishna. So basically, because of the consciousness of Prithu Maharaj, that actually affected the citizens, they felt that they were feeling the presence of Krishna. Again, like another class I was hearing, like Prabhupada was like narrating this story. Like he was telling that how Maya Devi, how the, like why wars take place between like countries. He was saying that like sometimes in a school, when two students, they perform some mischief, the teacher actually makes those students stand up, and then teacher will tell the students to pull each other's ear and then stand up and down like that. So similarly, like when Maya Devi arranges wars between two countries and both are actually demoniac, like Prabhupada said, like the cause of Second World War was that like Hitler said that sense gratification should be done in this way, and Churchill said no, sense gratification should be done in that way, and that was actually as the war took place. So basically both are sinful, and Maya actually arranges in such a way that through this wars they are actually killed. So Prabhupada was telling this story, but Harishori Prabhu, like he was giving the realization, he was saying that we felt that, and Prabhupada started laughing, and all the devotees started laughing. And Harishori Prabhu said that we felt that we were actually transported to the like banks of Yamuna, where Krishna is actually having picnic with his cowherd boys. Actually, like in one sense, like Prabhupada was not even telling some intimate Krishna Leela or something. He was telling about why wars take place. He was giving some example. But the result of that is the devotees were actually feeling that you are actually transported to like Vrindavan. We are feeling that how Krishna is enjoying picnic with his cowherd boys. So basically, because Prabhupada was having such pure consciousness, although he was not speaking some intimate Krishna Leela, but the people who were hearing, they actually were remembering Krishna and the cowherd boys. So basically here, we see that the importance of the consciousness of the person. Like Hiranyakashipu, he was speaking that philosophy, but he was not having the proper consciousness. Like Prithu Maharaj, because he was having the proper consciousness, the citizens were feeling that, oh, we are feeling the presence of the Supreme Lord. In fact, in one lecture, Gaurang Prabhu was sharing that he was saying, like in the case of Vasudev, when Nanda Maharaj came to meet Vasudev, like Vasudev, he wanted to speak about Krishna, but he could not speak about Krishna. Vasudev was having actually thoughts of Krishna, but he could not actually speak about Krishna. But on the other hand, like we speak about Krishna, but we don't have thoughts of Krishna. So that is that's the nature of like conditioned soul. So if you see, and in this particular chapter, another important verse which you'd like to highlight, it's a very beautiful verse. So when Hiranyakashipu is actually speaking to the relatives of Hiranyaksha, he is actually narrating another incident in order to actually pacify the relatives of Hiranyaksha. So he says that once there was a king called Suyagya. When he died in the battlefield, all the wives of Suyagya, they were actually lamenting for the death of their king, of their husband. And they were not actually allowing their husband's body to be cremated. So that time Yamaraj, he comes as a small boy and he actually speaks philosophy to these wives of Suyagya. So in fact, there's one beautiful verse where the Yamaraj, as a small boy, he says, Aho vayam danyatamaya datra tyakta pitrubhyam na vichintayama abakshyamana abalavrikadibi sarakshita rakshati yohi garbe. It is wonderful that these elderly men do not have a higher sense of life than we do. Indeed, we are most fortunate, for although we are children and have been left to struggle in material life, unprotected by father and mother, and although we are very weak, we have not been vanquished or eaten by ferocious animals. So thus we have a firm belief that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has given us protection even in the womb of that mother, will protect us everywhere. So this is a very beautiful verse, especially it's very inspiring because this actually shows all our fortunate position. Yamaraj is saying, although we are a small child, but we have actually got a higher sense of life. But these wives of this king, although they are so elderly, but they don't know they are actually attached to the body of their husband. They don't have the higher sense of life. But although we are small children, but we have got a higher sense of life. In one sense, it is actually the story of everyone. If we see, in our own life, just before coming to Krishna Consciousness, just because of coming in contact with the devotees after a few years, we know such high philosophy, we are coming in contact with Srimad Bhagavatam, and before coming to Krishna Consciousness, we were doing so much of abominable activities. If you are not coming to Krishna Consciousness, maybe we may be committing so many sinful activities. But just because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are, so many people, they are actually ready to hear. So, on the other hand, we see, although people, they are so elderly, sometimes, even I visited my relatives, some of my uncles, they are so elderly, but they are not, but the whole day they are spending their time is reading newspaper or watching TV. They don't know how to actually spend their time. But just, although we are actually young, just somehow because of the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we have come to know about Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this way, that's why he's saying that we are so, aho vayam danyatama. We are very fortunate. So that is actually the power of association with great souls. So then, Hiranyakashipu, after speaking this philosophy, he actually orders his dependents to actually to go and kill all the brahmanas and the cows. So Hiranyakashipu is telling that I will take care of Vishnu and you take care of the brahmanas and the cows. Shobhavilas Prabhu was mentioning in the class that when Yudhishthira Maharaj, when he was actually banished to the forest, his worry was, if I go to the forest, how will I be able to serve the brahmanas? He was not so much worried about losing the kingdom. He was worried about how will I serve the brahmanas? So Hiranyakashipu knew that the brahmanas and the Vaishnavas and the cows, they are actually maintaining they are responsible for maintaining Vishnu. So you take care of them and I will take care of Vishnu. In fact, if you see, even in the fourth canto, the Prithu Maharaj's instruction to the citizens, Prabhupada explains in the purport, the Prithu Maharaj first actually tells about the importance of performing devotional service. And then, in order to strengthen one's devotional service, Prithu Maharaj tells about service to devotees and the brahmanas. So that actually strengthens one's devotional service. And Hiranyakashipu is telling them to actually kill the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. And Hiranyakashipu is called as Kadana Priya, one who is fond of blood. In one sense, he is actually pacifying the widows, and after that, he is giving orders to create more widows. He is giving orders to kill the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So that is, it's like a split personality. One moment is like speaking something, and another moment is like completely different. So he is actually speaking this philosophy not out of realization, because of the situation. So in this way, Hiranyakashipu actually is telling them. And then we see actually there are three chapters describing about the activities of Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is preaching to the relatives, how Hiranyakashipu performs austerities, and Hiranyakashipu, how he actually terrorizes the whole universe. So one may think, oh, seventh canto, do you want to hear about Narasingadeva or about Hiranyakashipu? One may think. But actually, the fact is like suppose a person is studying medicine. Like first, he spends 4 or 5 years actually reading about the different diseases and different bacteria which cause different diseases. And then he starts actually treating the patient. He doesn't enter treating the patient right in the first day, actually. Like first one has to study the disease. So similarly, when we actually study the character of Hiranyakashipu, then we'll be able to actually appreciate the character of Prahlad Maharaj. In fact, in one purport, Vishnu Chakravartakur says that actually all the words, like in the first chapter of the Gita, he talks about so many names in the Bhagavad Gita, so many variants in the side of Kauravas and the Pandavas. But all these names are spiritual because they are connected with Krishna. Just like in a salt mine, any object which is there in the salt mine, it becomes salty. So similarly, all the activities, all the names, even the activities of Hiranyakashipu, because they are connected to Narasingadeva and Prahlad Maharaj, they actually purify. So that is why similarly, even in devotional service, different service, somebody may be directly applying chandan in the body of the Supreme Lord, but somebody is just grinding the chandan. Somebody who is applying the chandan is actually seen in the forefront. But somebody who is grinding the chandan is one among the thousands. But actually, when a person is doing with the right attitude, when a person is rendering service under the guidance and doing with the right attitude, then one is actually making same advancement. Just do it together, example, just like in a train, the first compartment and the 12th compartment, all are actually running at the same speed. It's not that, oh, the person who is in the 12th compartment, so he will actually reach the destination later. No, he will actually reach at the same speed. So similarly, anything connected with Krishna, however small it is, is actually purifying. And if the attitude is proper, it can actually supremely purify. So Hiranyakashipu performs these austerities, and when Lord Brahma appears, Hiranyakashipu, his goal is, he wanted to have a youthful body, and he wanted to be unconquerable, and he wanted all the mystic perfections, and he wanted total control. In other words, he wanted to become God. So the difference between a devotee and a demon, both want eternal life, but a devotee wants eternal life in the spiritual body, but a demon wants eternal life in the material body. The devotee wants to enjoy with Krishna, and the demon wants to enjoy without Krishna. So that is the nature of Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, when he actually performs these austerities, certain time Lord Brahma appears. So when Lord Brahma appears, he is not able to see Hiranyakashipu because he sees a ant hill. And Hiranyakashipu's austerity was so powerful, people all over the world, they were actually disturbed because so much of heat was coming out. And they approached Lord Brahma, and then Lord Brahma had to descend. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, he says that Hiranyakashipu is performing so many austerities, but he is called as a Rakshasa or a Daitya. Then how can he be called as a Rakshasa or a Daitya? He says that it is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. But his son Prahlad Maharaj was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlad do? Prahlad Maharaj, simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narada Muni, he became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him. Whereas Prahlad Hiranyakashipu, although he performed so many austerities, he was killed by the Supreme Lord. In fact, his lifespan reduced. And Prabhupada says that, this is the difference between devotional service and all the other methods of perfection. One who performs severe austerities for sense gratification is fearful to the entire world. Whereas a devotee who performs even a slight devotional service, he is a friend of everyone. So we see that Prahlad Maharaj performing a slight devotional service became a friend of everyone. But Hiranyakashipu performed severe austerities, but he became fearful to the whole world. So Prahlad Maharaj, when Hiranyakashipu and Lord Brahma appeared, Hiranyakashipu was actually shedding tears. And Lord Brahma, Gaurang Prabhu was mentioning in the class that Hiranyakashipu was humbly lording it over Brahma. It was as if he was humble and he was shedding tears. But he actually wanted to become immortal. He wanted so many boons. And Lord Brahma gave the benedictions. And then he said, actually, I will give all these benedictions. And these are actually very difficult to get. You may get all these opulences, but maintaining these opulences is actually more difficult. So in any field, maintenance is actually more difficult. As it is said that to come to Krishna consciousness is actually very difficult, very rare. And to stay in Krishna consciousness is even more rare. And to stay happy practicing Krishna consciousness is actually even more rare. One devotee was sharing, when he wanted to actually reduce his weight, he consulted some doctor, and the doctor was giving some suggestions. But doctor made one point that you should actually should take care that whatever lifestyle you adopt for reducing weight, that lifestyle should be in such a way that you should be able to have observe that lifestyle throughout your life. Otherwise, you may be able to practice that lifestyle for some time. But because it may be too difficult, then after some time you will not be able to practice. Then, so basically in any field, to reduce weight becomes easy, but then to maintain the weight becomes more difficult. So in any field, so Lord Brahma is saying that to get this opulence is difficult, but to maintain the opulences actually is more difficult. So then, Narada Muni is saying this verse, Sa yittam nirjita kakub yekarat vishayan priyan yatopa josham bunjano natrupyat ajitendriya. So although Hiranyakashipu, he actually conquered all the directions and he had all the opulences and he had a youthful body, he was actually dissatisfied because he did not control his senses. One is a person, people have material disease. And another is one may have material disease, but one may not have the resources to enjoy. And another is, one may have the resources to enjoy, but then one may not have the physical capacity to enjoy. So in the case of Hiranyakashipu, he had the highest material disease. He wanted complete control. And he had all the resources also. He had all the resources to enjoy, and he had the full ability to enjoy, but still he was actually dissatisfied. So this basically shows that when we actually control the senses, then a person can actually get satisfaction. But when a person is actually uncontrolled, then a person cannot satisfy, when a person gets satisfaction. So then when Hiranyakashipu started terrorizing, then all the demigods, they approached Lord Vishnu. So when the demigods approached Lord Vishnu, so then Lord Vishnu actually speaks to the demigods. So Lord Vishnu actually did not appear before the demigods, but Lord Vishnu spoke to them. He said that, "Oh, best of the learned persons, do not fear. I wish all good fortune to you, and become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. For these are certainly meant to award benedictions to all living entities. I know all about the activities of Hiranyakashipu and surely stop them very soon. So please wait patiently until that time." So here, Prabhupada mentions an important point. The verse says, "Sarvesham badram astuva mad darshanam hi bhutanam." Mad darshanam. But actually, the demigods, they were not actually seeing Lord Vishnu. But Lord Vishnu is telling that become my devotees by hearing and chanting about me and offering me prayers. So Prabhupada says that seeing Krishna is actually non-different from chanting the holy names or actually hearing about Krishna. So in the spiritual platform, seeing Krishna or hearing Krishna all are actually non-different. Everything is an absolute platform. That's why non-purport in the fifth canto, Prabhupada says, actually the personal association of the Lord is actually not required. So it is, if a person simply hears and chants the glories of the Lord, that is sufficient. Like in fact, when you see the character of Prahlad Maharaj, in one lecture, Radhana Swami Maharaj was explaining, like both Prahlad Maharaj and Kayadu, they heard from Narada Muni. In fact, Kayadu, she had the personal association of Narada Muni. She had the Vani and Vapu. But Prahlad Maharaj, he had only the Vani of Narada Muni. He did not even see Narada Muni. The first time which Prahlad Maharaj saw Narada Muni was like many years later. But Prahlad Maharaj, he took advantage of the Vani of Narada Muni and attained perfection. So he was mentioning that this is the power of free will. He was saying that, like, in one sense, it is easy for a wife to disobey the husband than for a son to disobey the father. So Kayadu could have actually easily disobeyed Hiranyakashipu. It was easier than for Prahlad Maharaj to disobey. So, but Kayadu did not take advantage of Narada Muni. She did not actually use her free will, and she did not make the proper choice. But Prahlad Maharaj made the proper choice by using the free will. So, in fact, in another class, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was highlighting this point when he was talking about the qualities of Prahlad Maharaj. There's a verse which says that unlike the other asuras, Prahlad Maharaj was not envious of the devotees. So he made actually all the devotees repeat this sentence many times during the lecture. Unlike the other asuras, Prahlad Maharaj was not envious of the devotees. So that means, like, if a person is envious of the devotees, he is an asura. In one sense, like, by that definition, like, many of us could be asuras, actually. So, like, if you see, that's why this quality of envy, like, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, like, "Idam te na tapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachana nacha asusru save vachyam nacha mam yobhya suyati." So, Krishna says, one should not give this knowledge to those who are not austere, and even if a person is like not austere, if a person is controlling his senses, but if he does not accept me as the Supreme Lord, then you should not give it to him. There are people who may be like self-controlled, but then they don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is saying you should not give this knowledge to him. But even if a person is asked here, if he accepts me as the Supreme Lord, but if he is not engaged in my devotional service, then one should not give this knowledge to him. And then he says, even if a person is actually austere, even if a person accepts me the Supreme Lord, even if a person is engaged in my devotional service, but if he is envious of me, one should never give this knowledge to him. So Baldev Vidya Bhushan writes in the commentary, he says, that first three words, na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya, asusru save, they are used in the dative case. So different like verbs are used in different cases. Nominative case, dative case. Dative case means like unto. Do not give this knowledge unto that person who is actually not austere, who is like that. But the word which is used to describe the envious person, that is used in a different case, nominative case, in order to actually emphasize the special nature of the person who is envious. So in other words, if a person is actually envious, then even though one may have the external appearance of a Vaishnava, he is not a Vaishnava. Or if a person is actually, although one may not have the external appearance of a Vaishnava, but if he is not envious, he is actually a Vaishnava. So Prahlad Maharaj is actually, he was not envious of the devotees. So then Lord Vishnu actually replies to demigods. I'll conclude with this few verses. So Lord Vishnu tells the demigods that actually, so do not worry, when Hiranyakashipu, when he actually starts torturing his son Prahlad Maharaj, who is the topmost devotees, that time I will actually appear, and that time actually I will kill Hiranyakashipu. In fact, so this is the power of Vaishnava Aparad. He says that even though Lord Brahma has given so many benedictions, but when a person has actually offends my devotee, those benedictions of Lord Brahma do not actually apply. So again, in one of the instructions of Rishabhadev, he is actually giving the gradations of different living entities. He says, compared to dull matter and plants and trees, plants and trees are superior to dull matter because plants and trees, they have life. And better than the plants and trees are the living entities which can move, like snakes and reptiles. And better than the snakes and reptiles are animals with developed intelligence. And better than the animals with developed intelligence are the human beings. And better than the human beings are the ghosts because they don't have physical bodies, they have only subtle body. And better than the ghosts are the Gandharvas, and better than the Gandharvas are the Siddhas, and better than the Siddhas are the Kinnaras, and better than the Kinnaras are the Asuras, and better than the Asuras are the demigods, and better than the demigods are the chief among all the demigods, that is Indra, and better than Indra are the sons of Lord Brahma, like Daksha. And better than the sons of Lord Brahma is Lord Shiva, who is the chief son of Lord Brahma. And better than Lord Shiva is actually Lord Brahma, because he is the father of Lord Shiva. And better than Lord Brahma is actually I myself, because Lord Brahma is actually born from me. But better than me are the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas. So in this way, he's giving the gradation. So Lord Vishnu is telling to the demigods that actually, even the Lord Brahma's benedictions will not work when a person actually offends my devotees. So Prabhupada says, a devotee actually does not create enmity with anyone. But if anyone offends a devotee, he will be actually vanquished. So Prahlad Maharaj never considered Hiranyakashipu as an enemy, although he tried to kill him in so many ways. That's why it is said, a devotee is not the enemy of his enemy. It means others may consider him as the enemy, but he does not consider the person who considers him as enemy as his enemy. So, in fact, like one may say, like when we offend a devotee, because if a devotee does not, does not consider the offense, because if we actually consider somebody has offended us, that means like that is also wrong, because a real devotee will never consider, oh, somebody has offended us. So devotee actually, he never actually considers others offended us, but still the person is actually vanquished. One may think, oh, because devotee forgives us, but how is it that still a person is vanquished? So it is said in the fourth canto, Nascharyam etad yad asatsu sarvada mahad vininda kunapatma vadishu sershyam maha paurushapada pamsubir nirasta tejasu tadeva shobanam. So here Maitri Rishi is saying, actually, it is not wonderful that persons who identify themselves with the body, they are actually always engaged in criticizing the devotees. In other words, actually the root cause of actually committing offense to the devotees is actually the misidentification with the body. And then he says, actually this envy of the materialistic person is good, because by that envy they will be vanquished. By offending the devotees, they will be vanquished. And then they say, how they will be vanquished? Such people will be diminished. They are vanquished by the dust from the lotus feet of the devotee. So actually the point Prabhupada writes in the purport, that like a devotee actually does not consider the offense, but although a devotee does not consider somebody has offended him, but the dust particles in the lotus feet of the devotee, they will not actually forgive that person. That is why a person actually will be vanquished by the dust particles from the lotus feet of the devotee. Like Advaita Acharya, he never felt that Sachimata has actually offended. Again, another devotee was sharing this point. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sachimata, you should actually take the dust from Advaita Acharyas. So because the dust particles actually will not forgive the person who has actually offended the devotee. So Prabhupada says that everything depends on the recipient. Just like in the presence of the sun, like certain vegetables, they flourish. But certain other vegetables, they don't flourish. So similarly, when a person smears his body with the dust of the lotus feet, like that means like serving the devotee, then a person actually gets a person advances. But when a person offends the devotee, that person is actually vanquished by the dust of the devotee. Like in this way, Lord Vishnu is actually telling the demigods that when Hiranyakashipu vanquishes, when he actually offends Prahlad Maharaj, I will actually descend to actually kill Hiranyakashipu. In another place, it's mentioned that Prahlad Maharaj, he was actually completely free of all unnatural pride. So Radhanath Maharaj is explaining there is something natural pride and unnatural pride. Like to be proud of Krishna is actually natural. But like unnatural pride, it means like when a person is proud of something material, then it is actually unnatural. And in fact, the word Prahlad means one who is perfectly happy. And Hiranyakashipu means one who is fond of gold and soft bed. So basically the seventh canto is nothing but Prahlad actually represents, he is perfectly happy because he is completely desireless. But Hiranyakashipu is actually filled with material desires. So when the forces of the desire, when they attack desirelessness, Lord actually appears to protect the devotees. So in this way, in this narration, Srimad Bhagavatam is actually teaching what kind of desires we should have through the example of Prahlad Maharaj, and what kind of desires we should not have, like through the example of Hiranyakashipu. So in this way, the narration continues. Because you'll hear the real nectar from Dwarkadish Prabhu in the evening, from about how Lord Narsingadeva appeared. and Prahlad Maharaj's teachings and prayers, so many more things. So I'm sorry that if I've spoken anything beyond my realization, or if it's anything instructive, beg forgiveness. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.